The psalmist wrote, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall third preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth," and just in case you didn't know, "and even forevermore." That's what God's going to do. I want to talk about life is a journey. Travel in Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, life is a journey. Travel in Christ." Then you tell yourself, say, "Self, life is a journey. Travel in Christ." Since the beginning of time, man has gone out of his way trying to explain what life is. It's like trying to explain what light is. We can talk about what it does, but we cannot talk about what light is. Light comes on and darkness runs away. We know that. But tell somebody who has never seen light, try to tell them what light is. And it's almost impossible. This morning I want to talk about life is a journey. Far too many people miss that point. They think life is what I is, what I'm doing, that's life. No, life is a journey. Webster's Dictionary, from Merriam-Webster right down here, not too far from us. That's where Webster's dictionaries have been made, and that's been their headquarters since I've been in Springfield. Webster's dictionary describes a journey as, quote, "a going from one place to another, usually of some distance." A going of one place to another, usually of some distance. I'm just dropping everything up here. I love to travel. And I love to drive during my travels. For me, Deacon Buffalo, driving south on Interstate 95, just over the Virginia state line, and looking to my right over those red clay and grass-covered fields, and seeing those old faded billboard signs way off the road, inviting everyone to stop and visit some place that no longer exists, is both entertaining, nostalgic, and in fact, a reminder of a time when I was a child so long ago. Deacon, you turn me down just a little. I hear just a little ring. My love for travel is probably born out of the fact that although I spent my first 12 years of life in Birmingham, Alabama, I don't know why I said Alabama. I could have just said Birmingham. But then I know somebody would have said England or Alabama. So that 12 years of my life in Birmingham, my Uncle Jimmy and his family lived in a place called Holyoke, Massachusetts, while Aunt Hattie lived in Springfield, Massachusetts. So We travel north several times by car and on the legendary train called the Silver Comet. I got pictures of that train just before they retired it, but just that route going through Atlanta from Birmingham and taking that route up in back of Henderson, Tennessee, all the way up through Richmond, Virginia, into New York City, where we boarded, changed train stations. I think we went into Penn Station, and then we would change and come from there up to Holyoke, about 2.5 blocks from Uncle Jimmy's house. The train stopped there, and we would get off with our chicken baskets and everything else that we had and go to visit them for a little while. That was then. But now when I travel, I love seeing the change in the regional scenery from the north to the south. But Minister Judkins, the truth is, it is getting harder to see these differences because most of the national restaurant chains, hardware stores, big box stores, gas stations, and hotels build their buildings so they look the same wherever they are. Just in case you haven't been, most of the national chain restaurants, McDonald's, all of the McDonald's look alike. If not, the Golden Arches are always there. If you find the Cheese Factory? Cheesecake Factory. Look the same. Ruby Tuesdays look the same. 99. Home Depot. Lowe's. Cracker Barrel. Gas stations, and then the hotels, all the Hampton Inns from northern New England down to Florida all look the same wherever they are. Used to be you could get down south, and you knew you were down south, not simply because you saw pine trees, not simply because you saw that red clay, but you knew you were down south because of the atmosphere. But now, in my opinion, these new buildings have negatively impacted the flavor, that old flavor that was so unique to these special places. Are you with me? I'm not gonna be long now. A road trip where I see and hear familiar sights and sounds and see those old dilapidated farmhouses and barns, and then imagine what it may have once looked like, both does my heart good. Rev likes to photograph them, and so do I. We're gonna have a photo off one day of these old lean-tos. And see, down south, you can't tear them down. They have to fall down. Other than that, they're going to be on your property from now on. Go down there and tear one down if you dare. And they may be leaning like this, and you look, and there's brush grown up all around it. But in your mind's eye, if you were ever down south in the 40s, 50s, and maybe even part of the 60s, but tell them, I'm telling the truth, you can, in your mind's eye, see the homestead. You can see where the barn is and know that there was a family there. This was their home where they worked the field. And you can be so, for me, it's part of what I saw when I was a child, that it is so exhilarating to be able to go. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Be able to go by and just see them and imagine the 15 people that lived in that little shack. Am I right about it? And the corn that was growing over there and the cotton that was over here too. Had a watermelon patch. Apple trees. Everything but the pig trough. Haven't seen that. Oliver Goldsmith. This is an aside. We were in a place called Modesto, California. And we were going to Ward Interstate 5 near the Diablo Range, and I was thoroughly lost. And we got into the country, and it was 8 o'clock in the morning, and I rolled the windows down and took a whiff. Pigs are around here. She said, how do you know? I could smell the slop. Am I right about anybody ever smell slop? Will you ever forget it? No. You know pig slop. That quick, better than you do perfume. I'm gonna move on. Oliver Goldsmith was correct when he said, life is a journey that must be traveled no matter how the roads and the accommodations. Close quote. The Bible that I read is full of examples of people who started their journey on one course and with one focus, and yet the road of their life took them to somewhere completely different from where they intended to go. Has that ever happened to anybody? Can I tell you about a few of them? Joseph, a gifted, beloved son, visionary, had big dreams, thought his brothers loved him. But Joseph was one of those that his course was set for him in his mind, and then his brothers betrayed him and sold him into slavery. And then his employer's wife tried to seduce him and then falsely accused him. Finally, he ends up in prison, imprisoned and cannot get out. Not only was he in prison, there was a butcher and a baker that came, and one of them survived after he told them of the visions they were having, the dreams, and interpreted them. And the one that survived said, that was the butler, said, when I get back, when I get out, I will remember you and remember your gift. But yet 2 years later, he still had not remembered Joseph, and Joseph is now locked in jail. Not only was he betrayed, not only was he falsely accused, not only was he in prison, but now he's forgotten. Then he gets vindicated when the butler's memory comes back to him. And in that vindication, in one day's time, he goes from prisoner to prime minister of Egypt. Isn't God good? The course that he thought he would be on, they thought he would be a man of power, yet he had to detour for a little while. Let me tell you, a detour is not a bad thing if that detour is led to by God. But don't you detour. Can't take time off from service. Life is a journey. It is not a sprint. It's a journey. It is not a destination. It is a journey. And then there's a man named Moses. Brought up in Pharaoh's house. But now when we find Moses, he's a 40-year escapee from Egyptian justice. Not only is that, he is satisfied in exile. Happy as he could be until one day he saw a bush. Am I right about it? And visiting that bush, he is called to service by God. Not only was he called to service, he is sent back to where they were looking for him, back to Egypt to lead God's people out of bondage. It was thought that Moses would one day be Pharaoh of Egypt. And now, not only has he been gone for 40 years, but now he is sent back to ask Pharaoh to let God's people go. That's a journey. He spent 40 years as an Egyptian, 40 years in exile, and then 40 years leading God's hard-headed people to a promised land that he never got to enter. What a journey. You think you had a bad day. And then there's a man named Job. Personal, catastrophic events happened all in one day. He lost his children, his livestock, and his health in the short period of time. And his friends came. And they sat for a week without saying anything. And his friends came and they told him, why don't you apologize to God and admit that you are a sinner? And Job is saying, no, I didn't do what y'all think I did. You know, his wife told him, why don't you cuss God and what? That's how miserable. Not only, he had boils all over him. He got friends that don't believe in him. And all he's lost his children. He's lost all of this stuff. And here he is waiting on God. And I heard him say, until my appointed time will I wait. And God heard him. Till my change come. And God said, send the change. And when it was all over, his health was restored. His children were restored, not the same ones, but new ones. But then all of his livestock and everything that he lost, God gave him double because he was on God's journey. He didn't cuss God and die. He waited on the Lord. He even had a conversation with God. Ha! God said, where were you when I suspended the earth out on nothing and caused it to turn at 1,000 miles an hour? Where were you? Who is to give me counsel? Journey. Then there was a man named David. He was handpicked by God to be king of Israel. And if that wasn't enough, he was a hero to the people while he was at an early age. He killed Goliath under God's direction, cut Goliath's head off, and brought it back to Jerusalem. He had the young women and the old women and the young men and the old members saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but David killed his tens of thousands. David was somebody. He didn't have a cable TV show. He didn't have a Facebook account. He couldn't tweet early in the morning. But David was famous. And then, he suffered from the scourge of lust and family betrayals, and tragedies came his way. But David recognized, I'm not in the will of God. So David called God one day and said, purge me with hyssop. And then he said, wash me clean. But then he knew cleanliness won't do it. He said, create in me a clean heart. That is a new and a right spirit that I may do your will. Journey. And God restored David. Amen. Peter. Do I have to say any more? Journey. From bad fisherman to outspoken apostle. Peter even had the nerve to tell Jesus what he could not do. But yet, Peter said, even if these others deny you, I never will. I'll die with you. And Jesus said, before the cock crow, you shall deny me thrice. And the Bible says, and Peter denied him. And when he denied him the third time, it's at the cock crow. And Peter looked across the judgment hall, and Jesus was looking at him with those kind eyes. Not the I told you so eyes. Jesus was looking benevolently, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. And then Jesus restored him by saying, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He asked him three times because he had denied him three times. And then Jesus restored him. I'm almost done. the dying thief. His life was ending, but his journey was not over. For I heard Jesus promise him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." His life is ending, get that point, but his journey was continuing. I'm going to close out these people with Paul, bounty hunter extraordinaire. Had the proper papers to go and secure those that were in Damascus and bring them back against their will to face charges of insurrection. The bounty hunter, on his way, he was fine at 5 minutes to 12. He was fine at 8 minutes to 12. He was fine with one stroke before 12. But the Bible tells us at noonday, a light from heaven came that said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Why do you kick against the pricks?" What are you saying, Sharon? Well, the bounty hunter with the skill of hunting others got apprehended on the Damascus Road. In fact, there was a case of the hunter getting caught by the game. But his journey for Christ was just beginning. Oh, Paul went through. You want to talk about a journey? Paul would later say, and I'm bunching them together, he said, "I served many imprisonments, countless beatings, and was often left near death. Numerous times he was beaten with whips and rods. He was stoned and left for dead, shipwreck, adrift at sea, in danger from rivers, robbers, Jewish and non-Jewish people, in danger in the city, the wilderness, at sea, from false brethren, suffered sleepless nights, in hunger and in thirst, in cold and exposure. Yet he enthusiastically continued on God's appointed journey." How you doing this morning? One writer correctively wrote, life is a journey, and the Christian life is the greatest journey of all. It's not always easy or fun. But as believers, we know that God will help us through those patches of rough roadway. He will help us through the streets that have no streetlights. He will help us across broken bridges. If you're feeling weary in your journey, take courage. For your guide is Jesus, and your destination is heaven. End quote. But then Philip Brooks said, there is not one life which the life giver ever loses out of his sight. Not one which sins so that he casts it away. Not one which is not so near to God that whatever touches the person, God feels also, whether sorrow or joy. President Abraham Lincoln once said, "The best thing about the future is that it comes only one day at a time." My brothers and sisters, for far too many of us, our assigned journey is taken for granted until the death of someone close to us or some tragedy causes us to focus on our own mortality. You know how we are. Then for a while we will take inventory of our life, pledge to change and do better. But after a while, most of us will return to old habits and remain off course from our God-assigned journey. We will seek things which are here rather than things which lies before us in a place called the will of God. Wilbur Chapman wrote the quote, "The rule that governs my life is this." Listen to this. "Anything that dims my vision of Christ or takes away my taste for Bible study or cramps my prayer life or makes Christian work difficult is wrong for me. And I must, as a Christian, turn away from it." End quote. I came to tell you that even though your life's journey may not have turned out the way you wanted it to, if you are in the will of God, your success, according to our scripture, and your victory is guaranteed by the word of God. Oh, my brothers and sisters, understand this. You're not on an island by yourself. Your circumstances are already prepaid and preset to you so that it can make you stronger. Job, I can't imagine the Superman Job was after his experience. Do I have a witness? Abraham. See, we have to learn to trust God. Abraham was a man that was well off near his family in a place called Mesopotamia, and what he turned out doing was running into God one night, and God said, "I'm going to send you on a journey. Will you trust me?" And Abraham said, "I'll trust you." And Abraham and his wife and his nephew Lot and his father went on a journey. But his father, for whatever reason, could not go into the land that God had promised. So when his father died, they were allowed to go in. Abraham trusted God. Went in, yes, he lied, and God forgave him. Lied twice, God forgave him, because God had a journey for him. And when his life was finally God told him what the journey is. "You shall be father of nations. Your seed shall be as the sands on a sea." That's how many there will be if you can number them. And Abraham trusted God, and God said he accounted it to him for righteousness. And Abraham went on a journey that took him into Egypt, that took him into the land of Canaan, that took him into old age. And yet the Bible says, and God called him friend. Don't you want that kind of a relationship? Then you can't You can never doubt God. Doubt your doubt, but don't doubt your God. God is to be trusted at all. He didn't just run up on you. Isn't it what it says? "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul." That means all the way till the end of time. "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this day forth, even forevermore." Don't you try to be the captain of your ship. You need a captain. Some of us said, "Help me, Lord." No, 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 Lord. You do it. I'm helping you. That's the way it goes now. I want Jesus, and I want him to follow me. You follow him. Lord, help me. No, Lord, you do it for me. That's how we approach and our journey becomes successful. Colored boy from Birmingham, I'm successful. By any stretch of the imagination, at least if y'all don't know it, the devil knows it. Because no matter what he does, I'll take the challenge. I wasn't coughing earlier this morning. I got here and Brother Brian to tell you I was down in the office coughing like crazy. I didn't have any cough before, won't have one this afternoon. But he doesn't want this to go forward. So if I was one that would lay down, I don't know why he bothered me on Sunday morning. If I was one that would lay down, he would be justified. But God, he went to God and said, "Let me make him cough." God said, "Go ahead, make him cough." Because see, I know something about him. Coughing won't stop him. If I have to Morse code this message out, it's going out today. Do I have a witness?
Yes, sir.
Nothing he can do can stop me. And when we have the I can't be stopped, that scares every demon in the world. Because that means that you have freedom. And freedom, it comes from God and will set you free even in your bondage. Some of us have not lived up to what we wanted to do. We went to school and thought we were going to be here by now. And we're not there yet. But God has a plan for us. Was that in your plan? I never wanted to be a preacher. Never in my life did I have a day I wanted to preach. I talked about him. Figured he wouldn't call me then. I did everything I could to make sure God didn't want me. But on the day he wanted me, I knew I couldn't get away. What is it that God wants you to do? What is your journey? Are you on it yet? Are you still waiting on a sign? What did Jesus say about signs? No sign is going to be given except that which... Psalm 23, 4 and 7 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's a journey, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art... Stop right there. Don't you know when you're saved, the Holy Ghost resides in you? He becomes part of you. He's not in and out. He doesn't go someplace else when you go to sleep. He lives in you from now until the day of redemption. He restoreth. Oh, man, did I get past that? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How long? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But Jesus steps in and he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that thou might have life and have that, and that they might have it more abundantly. I come that they might have life. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. I thirst. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? It is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. I'm so happy, and I'm going to take my seat, that Jesus thought it not robbery. You see, here's what you got to know. Before he came to die for anybody, he knew everything everybody was going to do. Let me say that again. Before he came and died for anybody, he knew everything everybody was going to do. He knew we would get off journey, but yet he loved us so much that he came. And he died. I'm glad he came. And I'm glad of the pictures of the theophany in the Old Testament. I'm glad of all of those examples the Bible gives us when you study the Bible to understand when he showed up, where he showed up, what he did, and yet he never showed up to show himself. That fourth one in the fire. didn't come out and identify himself. He had no sign on him saying, I am Jesus, Lord. He wore no crown. The one standing outside of the walls of Jericho, when Joshua went out, that was dressed in full military, he had no sign that says, I am your Christ. Joshua says, do you come to fight with us or against? Now, I ain't come to fight for you or against you. I came to take over. And he produced the victory. Am I right about it? I still believe there was another lion in the lion's den. I believe that the lion sat over and said, I would go over and get him. But there's that other. He may be more hungry than we are. Now, I don't know if I would go, but I ain't that hungry tonight. You know, I had a little snack at noontime. I don't think I'm. Besides, he don't look that good anyway. I believe there was another lion in there. Come on, somebody. What about that fish that picked up Jonah? But it did say God created that fish. Let me go on home. I'm glad that he was born in the stable. I'm glad that he lived a solitary life. I'm glad that he did all of the miracles that he did. But I'm most glad that he died. Because without his death would not come my salvation. I'm glad he died. Some said if Jesus had not died, well, if he had not died, I'd still be lost in sin. If he had not died, I would not know eternity is my home if he had not died. I'm glad he died. His death showed me that it's not final. I'm seated now. Let me just say this to you, and I'll take my seat. There's a man named Ben Robertson. He tells of this inscription he saw on a tombstone near his home. He said, the inscription said, born in 1810, died in 1890, lived 50 years. Say that again now. Y'all got that? Born in 1810, died in 1890, lived 50 years. I believe that 30 of his years was outside of Christ. The tombstone is saying he had a journey. His journey began in 1810. It ended in 1890, but his real journey started 50 years before that, when he became a soldier in the army of Christ. I have to ask you this morning, what will your journey say about you? Will it say you traveled in Christ? Will it say you were saved today and died tomorrow? Or will it say he worked, she worked for Christ? What will your, not your tombstone. We know they're going to put your name on. They're going to put the date. They're going to do all of that. But what will be said of you when your journey is over? Now, don't spend too much time thinking about that. Because here's where you have to, what will be said to you when your journey is over? Will you hear, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or will you hear, depart from me? You worker of iniquity, I know you not. Solid Rock, we are on a journey. It is not a sprint. It's not what you see today. What you see today is not the end of what God has in store. Amen. Am I right about it? Amen. How many people came in here and are exactly the same as when you came through the door? Raise your hand. Anybody exactly the same? Anybody been changed? Amen. If you've been changed and saved, that's your journey. Amen. And you're on your journey. You may not like where God is sending you, but you got to go. You may not understand where God is sending you, but be prepared to travel and to travel light. You may not understand the word of God, but God tells you, pick up my Bible Sit down and make an appointed time, and I will teach you what's in the word. You may have desires to do this. You may want to work for somebody else, but God may have a job for you that nobody else can do but you, like you, for him at that time. Not a shouting sermon, it's a tell you what God said. Life is a journey. Travel with Christ. Father, I pray for those who are unsaved, whether in this building or any where else. I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you not let them be distracted by those that will give false information, those that will tell them that everything's all right. Let them not be in a church where they believe things that are not consistent with your word. No man supersedes your word. So we thank you right now for your Bible. We thank you that, Lord God, each of us can be checked according to your Bible. So we thank you right now. We thank you for the desire in this church to do your will. We thank you, Lord God, that we understand that this is not a ninth inning game. It's not four quarters. That we are called into service to serve you until the day we die. And we thank you, Lord God, because we know that dying is not an end. It's a doorway to eternal life. And we thank you, Lord God, for that wisdom and knowledge. We thank you for knowing your word, Lord God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So, Lord God, we don't have to watch our back because goodness and mercy. We thank you right now, Lord God, that our eyes can be stayed on the cross and not have to look at those who are in front of us. We thank you. Now, Lord God, I pray that you bless everyone who's heard something in this message. I pray that they receive something in Jesus' name. It didn't make them run down the aisle. It may not have made them shout. But we pray, Lord God, that they heard something that was unique to them. And we thank you. Now, Lord God, have your way in the remainder of the service. We submit all things unto you. Take us on our journey. We're ready to travel. Lord God, we thank you. We know the children of Israel travel for 40 years. But, Lord God, we thank you. Have your way in us. We submit to your authority. We wait on your movement. And, Lord God, we will follow you. Because I remember, Lord God, in the word, that when the cloud was not over the tabernacle, the people waited. And then, Lord God, when you came back into their presence, that, Lord God, then the tabernacle was packed and they moved. But on the day, we thank you right now. Lord God, we thank you. Have your way in Jesus' name. We don't have to invite you here, for we know you're already here. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.